you? Is that you?
Hi. Look. Look, you ought to stop this fool around, you hear? Who's in there, damn it?
This must be where the executioner was killed, it's the legend.
Hello, and welcome to the Scariest Things Podcast, Episode 3, Season 1.
Hooray!
Yay! We made it 3 episodes! So the Scariest Things Podcast is your gateway to horror, where we talk about the trends and tropes of the genre.
And you are?
My name's Eric Lee, and I'm your co-host with...
Mike Campbell. Welcome.
Welcome. And we've been getting some great response from our fans and our friends, who may be the exact same thing at this point. But one of the things that we have found is, oh, I don't really like horror movies, but you know what I do like is this movie. Is that a horror movie? And it's like, nah, maybe.
Is this your boss or your coworker or the guy that works in the parking garage?
Yeah,
perchance.
These are, you know, people who are not either they're not maybe they might not be movie fans or they're just chickens or you know they're thinking about it maybe a little bit too much.
Right. So, or maybe both or all three.
So
it's possible.
Yeah.
It is possible to be a chicken. Not a movie fan, and maybe just unsure about who you are.
And so I don't know what the hell they were doing listening to our podcast, other than they love to hear our golden tones. So what we're going to talk about today is it's going to be a little bit different than what we did the last two podcasts. And this is going to be the what is horror discussion. And I think it sort of tests the boundaries of what we would consider to be a horror movie. Does it need to be scary?
Mm-hmm.
Does it need to be gory?
Mm-hmm.
Does it need to be thematic? Mm-hmm. In traditional terms like monsters and occult or ghosts or vampires.
Is your heart rate up over 160 beats per minute?
Yeah, but that may be it might not be a true horror movie if it has that as so if it gets your heart racing, is it a horror movie?
And your face is flush. Yeah. And you don't want to leave the downstairs to walk back upstairs.
Then I think that is by definition a horror movie.
That is a horror movie.
And but then again, what may be a horror movie to my mom or to Mike's kids is going to be very different than what I consider to be a horror movie.
Indeed.
It takes quite a bit to scare me and Mike.
We have a lot of scar tissue.
Yes.
We have a lot of scar tissue, and we're trying to scrape it away for you.
And yeah, you can keep it.
No charge.
So what we're going to do is we're going to bounce some... I'm going to ask Mike what a series of movies and whether he considers them horror movies, and he's going to do the same for me.
Right.
Now, my list right now is a little bit bigger than Mike's.
That's okay.
But I think this is going to be a real fun discussion because there is going to be some specific movies that my friends and colleagues have brought to my attention. It's like, no.
Not a horror film.
Maybe.
No.
We'll bounce it off of Mike and we'll see.
Fat chance.
Mike might have a very broad definition in his mind of what a horror movie is.
Before we jump in, give me like 3 things that make a horror film for you.
I think...
It can be an adjective.
It can be
a verb.
Yeah, I think it. I think it needs to be killing. I think it needs to be fantastical to some degree.
Okay.
I think it needs to play on the boundaries of reality.
Sure. Fantastical, but not Tolkien-esque.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. Although, after last week's episode, I think that we can find out that Mike might find The Hobbit to be a horror movie because he's apparently very afraid of dwarves.
I am.
Blue. And I have
scary.
I would say so testing the edges of reality. I think being
it's got to be a supernatural maybe quality.
A little bit. I mean, because that might be what separates it from being a thriller.
Sure.
Right. If it, But then again, not all monster movies may be horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
At least not at my age. No. I mean, there's some movies that don't qualify.
The Host, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, The Host. Yeah, that's a good one. Or the Relic. Or,
right.
You know, there's some. I love monster movies. But, but you know, I'm fooling myself if I'm gonna say Son of Godzilla is a horror movie, right?
King Kong versus Godzilla.
Right, yeah. No, that's not... That doesn't play as a horror film, although I've got a deep affection for those things. I know a kaiju movie is a little bit... Too silly. All
right.
And I would also
say... So Fantastical, number one. Number two?
Number two, it's got to be... I think there's a certain level... I think fear for the protagonist.
Sure.
I think that
you got to care about him. You don't want him to die.
Right. And or go crazy or... Right. There's... But the challenge in a horror movie has dire consequences,
right?
And I think that the success or failure of the protagonist is a life or death thing. Right. Whether or not it actually happens in the movie, that's what I'm looking for.
Right. Okay. And number three. What is the third quality that makes a horror film?
Emotional impact.
Sure.
You know.
Okay.
And I think that if I if in the end I walk out of there, and I think you were describing the heart raising 160 beats per minute,
right?
If it gets my adrenaline up and the sweaty palms, or if there's a chance that I might not want to watch the movie because I think it just might freak me out,
right? Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer.
There you go. But that's one of the great, you know, jumping the gun here a little bit, but it is that Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer is a great question. It does not play on the fantastical.
No.
In fact, it is the exact opposite. It is something that is trying to go a straight on realistic depiction of a horrible sadistic guy.
And you really don't care about the protagonist.
No, you don't.
Turns out serial killers bad.
Yeah. It's like you're not
good.
And
bad.
But Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, I will admit, I have not touched.
Really? Never seen it?
I've never seen
it. Oh, we're watching it. That's it. That's on. It's on.
That's one. It's just like, I don't know.
It just seems on.
We're
going to sully Eric yet.
The Bridge Too Far movies. Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer is one of them. And, you know, there are some other ones, like the old 70s...
I Spit on Your Grave.
Yeah, or Last House on the Left.
House on the Left.
They are, you know, the home invasion type movies, they sort of... They're not fantastical, but they're horror movies. But what makes the difference between that and Fatal Attraction?
Right, right,
right. I don't think you'd call a horror movie.
Sure, but do you really care about Michael Douglas in the end of the day?
No, you care about the rabbit though.
Yeah, the poor rabbit. So fantastical, you got to care about the protagonist, and there has to be an emotional punch.
Yeah, an emotional punch.
There's got to be something.
A fearful punch.
All right,
Michael.
All right. So I have a much more simple calculation. It is this is the formula. It is fright plus dread plus gore divided by evil times demons and witches equals a great horror film. No, in all seriousness, I think I would probably agree with a lot of what Eric said. Is that I think. You know, for me, the thing that really lasts is if there is an overwhelming sense of dread, like the protagonist, it's just they can't escape, which ultimately kind of like it creates this interesting supposition where you're like, you put yourself in that position as the viewer and you're thinking like, okay, this poor sap can't get out of this cabin, can't get out of this house, can't get out of this basement. What would I do?
But to test that,
yes.
Okay, so
we're gonna be doing a lot of testing today.
What's the James Franco movie where he's trapped in the canyon?
Oh, sure,
right,
sure.
He's trapped. He can't get out. Right. It's a survival story.
Right.
Now, a survival story is a little different. Or Castaway, not a horror movie.
True.
But it is a component. If you add that plus fantastical,
yeah. So you got my number two. There has to be. I would even go. I would go a notch further than Eric where he says fantastical. I would say supernatural, because I think, like, at the end of the day, I mean, somebody like Jason, somebody like Freddy, somebody like Michael Myers, they do have a supernatural quality, even though they
You
can't kill them, but they really are. They're serial killers, you know, when you get down to brass tacks. But it does have a supernatural kind of component. It's not something that you would see in the real world. And then...
But then Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer?
Tough one. Yeah, maybe we'll get to that later today.
Okay.
Maybe we'll get to that. Okay. I don't know. Right. Maybe I'll add it to my list. And then I think the final thing is so you have the dread, you have the supernatural, and then I think, you know, it doesn't have to be jump scares, it doesn't have to be, you know, lots of gotchas, it doesn't have to be don't turn around kind of stuff, but there has to be enough there that you in the theater are willing to lift your feet off the ground and try to put them on the chair
and curl into a little ball.
Because you're so terrified that you can't take it anymore. So you got to have those three things. You get those three things, and I think you got yourself winner, winner, chicken dinner.
All right. Bring it.
All right. What have you got for me? So number one, Henry Portrait of a Serial... No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Okay. Number one. Horror film, yes or no, and why, Donnie Darko, go.
Wow, okay, so that puts it, fantastical, yes.
2001. This is 2001, for those of you that don't know Donnie Darko.
Jake Gyllenhaal's coming out to the wide audience here.
Yep.
I'd say no. I think it has, it's kind of creepy, but it's a psychological drama, and it's got some things that are a little haunting about it.
Right.
But I'm not ready to go there for horror. I think you care
about the protagonist. Yes.
I do, absolutely. Okay. I think it's a great film.
It's fantastical.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I busted the nut.
I'm with you.
What's your take on it? Do you think Donnie Darko's a horror movie?
I think it's on the edge. Yeah. I think it's like... I think it's a good gateway kind of horror film.
Sure.
It's like an easy way to slide on into the world of horror without getting too deep into the world of horror.
Yeah, once you've gotten past Night Before Christmas, and then you can do...
You can go to Donnie Darko. All right. Number two. This is a film. Eric and I love this director. We talked about it in season one, episode one.
All right.
John Carpenter did a film in 1988 with the Roddy Piper called They Live. Horror film? Sci-fi
film. I think it's an invasion. Because this is a case where...
You know,
I think that the
give us. You want to give us the premise? I can give you the premise. The premise is, for those of you out there that haven't seen They Live, the 1988 classic. This has basically this unnamed drifter who discovers that these space alien space monsters are in fact concealing their appearance by manipulating, you know, the collective consciousness of America.
And they're creepy looking.
Money and greed and excess, and there's lots of sort of subliminal messages and you know, using the mass media. Boy, we've never heard that story before.
Fake news.
Using the mass media to control people's minds. So you're saying maybe yes, maybe no.
I think because this is, and I'm going to bounce another one, similarly one back to you. But okay. I think this is one where I think there's a, I think this is more of an actioner, and I think it's because the relative power of your protagonist and their ability to deal with the situation in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think in a horror movie, there's a power struggle, and the villain or the antagonist is a lot more powerful than the protagonist.
True.
And or at least until the protagonist finds the secret key, the silver bullet.
Right.
You know, to defeat, to rise up and confront their fears and their monsters. I think in They Live, I think that, you know, the balance, you know, I'm here to kick ass and chew gum.
Right.
And I'm all out of chewing gum. I mean, come on. And it's like, this guy's not afraid of him. So, you know, I think it's a fun sci-fi caper. I think it's a great action movie.
Super subversive sci-fi political thriller. Right. Maybe doesn't cut the mustard for horror.
No, I think it's not quite there. And we think
put it on the edge. Another gateway.
Yeah.
This is your first beer. This is, have a beer. And
first one's on me, kid.
See how things go. All right. The next one. I'm going way back.
Yeah.
Going into the Wayback Machine. 1935, right. Freaks.
Yes, it is.
Freaks.
Absolutely.
So this is, it had the real feel of a carnival freak show because they used carnival freaks.
This was, and this was, the director from Dracula.
Todd Browning,
yeah, and he lost, after this, he was persona non grata in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. I mean, this ruined him because mm-hmm. This was banned by the MPAA. It was considered to be too disturbing. It was a brutal murder in it mm-hmm. by the freaks.
And most importantly, it's where the Ramones got Gabba Gabba Hey.
Or actually one of the best tropes
yes.
out there. One of us. So that is...
Can't beat that.
It's a scary movie.
All right.
It shocked
mm-hmm.
and... spook people. There were some seriously dark undertones in it. It is no doubt a horror movie. It's a great one.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's, if you haven't seen it, get over the fact that it's in black and white, people, and get over the fact that it's an old timey movie because it's super weird and super freaky.
It's kind of heartbreaking.
Sure.
In a way, because you see these...
It's heartbreaking in the same way King Kong is, or Frankenstein, because you care about the monster.
Sympathetic monsters. Yeah, sympathetic absolutely. Monster, and, yeah. And they set up, and it's a great kind of a fairy tale kind of a thing.
Man's inhumanity to man.
Yes.
All right, so my second to last one is a 1971 film starring... I'm pretty sure Academy Award winner Dustin Hoffman is a Sam Peckinpah film. I think we actually saw this together. Okay. Straw Dogs. Have you seen Straw Dogs?
I haven't seen Straw Dogs.
Okay, we haven't seen it together. So this is Straw Dogs. This is a film involving a young American, Dustin Hoffman, his English wife, Susan George. They go to rural England. He is he's an astrophysicist, and they're basically bullied by the local community, and it culminates in there's a rape. They kill the local community kills the cat, the cat that they have. They actually show. The hanging of the cat, which is just horrifying.
Yeah, I mean, our Bridge Too Far moments. Bridge Too Far. So.
But the film escalates into a bloody battle with Dustin Hoffman as the local community assaults his house. So
do you say...
It's a tough one because it kind of gets into that, like, you know, I think home, it's like, is home invasion synonymous with... horror? Is home invasion tantamount to horror? Like, are they the same things? It's like, you're in your home, you feel good, mm-hmm. you're the protagonist, but all of a sudden shit goes wrong and people are knocking down your door, and you ultimately have to put yourself into that, like, what would you do? Would you grab, you know, the ice axe? Would you grab the hammer? Would you grab the gun? Would you grab the knife? Would you set the place on mm-hmm. fire? Like, what would you do? So, yeah, it's a tough one because it hits a lot of the home invasion films in general, I think, hit a lot of the elements, which is, I think, more often than not, why they kind of get lumped into that world. But yeah,
well, like the one that I drew attention to in our in episode 2, mm-hmm. High Tension.
Yeah.
Home invasion, you know, with a
straight up horror.
No horror. Question about that. What's the, you know, there's a current series, and I'm blanking on the, but it's the it's the national holiday. Everybody gets to go out and kill for a day. What's the
Purge?
The Purge. Is a horror movie.
Purge 1, 2, or 3?
1, which is straight up home invasion.
I would go... No, I think Purge 1 is the closest to the horror. Purge 2 is like The Warriors.
Right.
It's like, it's a straight up Warriors remake.
Yeah, or Escape from New York. Yeah. Or, you know, it felt like a John Carpenter movie to me.
Yeah. I'd say, no, super solid thriller, not a horror movie.
Okay. Yeah.
Being billed as horror. Yeah. Kids, you're getting duped. This is not a horror movie.
But there, yeah, but it's got a cool premise.
Right.
I think the third one kind of jumped the tracks.
Yeah.
But the first two were good, solid productions.
Yeah. All right. So hit me with your list.
Okay, so I've got a bit of a longer list, but we'll see how long this plays out. So now...
We'll go fast.
We'll try to go fast.
Or not.
Here's a question. Yeah, what if the monster... this is along the lines of Freaks.
Yes.
If the movie's so old now
right.
that it's become familiar and the creatures are no longer...
And you,
scary.
And you get excited about it, and you show it to your kids, and they say, Dad, this is the dumbest thing ever. What are you doing to me?
So, Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Horror movie.
I love the Creature from the Black
Lagoon. Straight up horror movie.
It is.
Because, I'll tell you why. Because if you've ever been, and we talked about this in episode 1, season 1, if you've ever been in the water and wondered what that thing tugging below you was, there's some great underwater sequences. I don't know what the backstory is and the way they filmed Creature from the Black Lagoon or where they filmed it, but there's some awesome underwater
sequences. They filmed it in Florida, I think.
Yeah. Some great, great underwater sequences. Up to and including, I think a really creepy scene where the female protagonist is in the water on her back, and the creature wanders right up close to her, and he's just about to touch her, which is, I think that's really
and it's
scary
got,
stuff.
It has the all time best movie poster. That Creature from the Black Lagoon poster is beautiful.
Yep.
I've got a soft spot for all those old Universal movie posters and the companies. They don't make them like they used to.
Yeah.
And
I don't want to spoil it, but I don't want to spoil this for maybe a later episode. I don't know that we're going to explore the Universal monsters, but I would say this is the best of the Universal monster movies. There, I said it.
It's my favorite. It's my favorite too.
All right. High five. Okay. Number two.
So, along the lines of They Live.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is action horror.
Yeah.
Predator.
Ooh, nope. I'm just going to say no. Action, just straight up action movie. I think it's a straight up action movie. It's got a funny looking alien. It's kind of a badass. But you never really feel, as you were saying earlier, you never really feel like any serious dread because these guys come armed.
Right. It's an even-up fight.
You got Jesse the Body, for God's sakes. Yeah. Jesse the Body brings it, and you got the Governator.
I would say
two former governors,
and
taking down the space alien.
Sonny, Sonny
Bono.
The character who played Sonny.
Sonny Chiba. No,
but he was the Native American brave.
Oh, right.
He tried to run for governor too.
Mm.
But I think he was also a former porn star, and so that kind of held him back.
Yeah,
so
that happens. All right.
Okay.
Number three.
Okay. It's a weird movie.
Sure.
It is a... I couldn't sit through the whole thing.
Are we getting into the Eraserhead debate?
Eraserhead!
Oh, no! I got it right. No. You know, I don't know. I don't know that any of the David Lynch films are horror films per se.
It's raining fetuses.
I mean, Mulholland Drive has got some really strange scenes.
The chicken, its legs are kicking, it's just doing this. It's just imagery. But it's like a Salvador Dali acid trip.
Yeah. Kids, stay away from drugs. Don't do drugs. All right.
And warn you against Eraserhead. Okay, so a movie with no death, no blood. And this is a genre. Actually, there's a lot of horror movies that sort of fall into this kind of. Well, I guess we ask the question: are they horror movies?
Sure.
Rosemary's Baby.
I'm going to say yes because it's got that, and I think I covered that in my
supernatural
my equation. It's got supernatural and it's got demons. It's a super slow build. I mean, Rosemary's Baby, I think, is which was indicative of a lot of the films of that time. It was basically a joke, you know, not, I don't mean joke in the pejorative, but it was like, it was a big, long joke that was told with a big punchline.
Right.
And you get to a punchline at the end of the film, and you realize that she's having a demon baby, and that there is indeed this satanic cult in the apartment building, and the husband was complicit in the whole thing.
But it's almost such a slow build, and it also goes to the fact that, but you know, the your equation.
Yes.
Is that there's no death, there's no gore.
Right.
But it's a horror movie.
Oh yeah, 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 it is. Yeah. It is. I say yes. I say yes to Rosemary's Baby.
Okay.
In fact, I don't want to date myself. Well, this will actually precisely date myself. My mom tells me she saw Rosemary's Baby when I was in utero, and
okay, so then
so
did I write down the dates?
Dated.
Okay, so give us the date.
1967.
There you go. All right.
67, 68.
Going back to the
yes,
the Henry versus of the Henry
the portrait
of a serial killer.
Kill. Yes.
So I think that's one. I think we established horror movie, despite the fact not supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
Seven.
Ooh, seven. Yeah, you know, I would give seven a slight nod because it's the serial killing is so far-fetched.
Right.
I mean, it falls into the same. I think it falls in the same category as
the artistic direction. Sort of pushes the boundaries.
It falls into that kind of much like Saw, you know, where it's so fantastical and almost unbelievable that the serial killer has like concocted so many elaborate ways to go about doing this. I would say I would put it in.
It stands with one foot in horror and one foot in thriller.
Right.
It straddles the line. I think it's a brilliant movie.
Yeah.
I think it's not for the faint of heart. It is
no.
And the funny thing, it's actually more the what they tell you and what's put in your brain, like the the lust killing. They can't show that on.
Sure.
That's just too much.
Right.
But. Still, when they describe it to you, you go, oh, I feel sick.
Right.
Right. Next one.
Yes.
Jurassic Park.
Straight up no. Straight up no.
Because it's a science fiction action movie.
Science fiction action movie. It's like, you know, it's like Logan's Run. It's like Star Wars. It's, you know, it's a fun. I think that's the thing is that, like, if you swapped out, like, Dread for fun, I would say sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, the people that are on an adventure, they're having fun.
Right.
And while there is some dread, it's dread with a lowercase d.
Right.
So it's like not dread with an uppercase d, where if people were getting torn apart limb to limb, and I'm not just talking about Newman getting torn apart. I'm talking about, like, if everybody was getting torn apart in
a
Romero-esque zombie-type apocalypse.
Kind of a body count. The lawyer got lunched. Yeah. You know,
but the right people get it.
Yeah, that's right.
The right people get it, yeah. So, no to Jurassic Park, boo. It's a good film. It's not a good horror film.
Bone Tomahawk.
Bone Tomahawk is...
So, no,
I'm going to...
Caution, folks. Bone Tomahawk's a caution.
Yeah, this might come up in our dead, undead lists at a later date. You know, who doesn't love Kurt Russell? I love Kurt Russell. You love Kurt. Everybody loves Kurt Russell. And did this film in 2015.
We just saw it recently. Yeah, it was 2014. I think it's 2015. Yeah,
2015. Yeah, it's a Western involving cannibals, and it is above and beyond on the fact that it is way too long. It's not really scary.
It's three quarters of a cowboy film.
It's three quarters of a cowboy film, and then it's three quarters of a cowboy film coupled with a bunch of unnecessary gore, or gore that's almost kind of a non sequitur. And you look at Bone Tomahawk and you just think, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, there is a warning to, or if you're curious, one of the most disgusting scenes you'll ever see in a horror movie happens towards the end of Bone Tomahawk, and it goes to the. What we talked about in episode 2, great moments, Mm-hmm. There are very few horror moments in Bone Tomahawk. Mostly it's talking about rescuing their their beloveds and and cowboy talk.
Yeah.
And then a guy gets torn in half.
If you like gore, stick with it, because you'll get some at the end.
It'll be there, but I don't know that it's not earned.
Right.
And so it's one of those awkward ones. It was described for us as a horror movie. It's in the horror section.
Yeah.
It's kind of not.
Yeah. I say not. Right.
Okay. So one of my colleagues who said, well, okay, I think Gone Girl is a horror movie.
Gone
Girl. And I went, Gone Girl? Come on, she goes. And she said, she's a crazy psycho. It's got this twist. It's a dreadful thing. And it's like, I don't think I can go there. I think that's on the outer boundaries. And I was like,
I say Gone Girl is a very clever Harlequin romance. Not a horror film.
Right, not a horror film.
Not a horror
film.
Put
that one to bed. So that one's for Tiffany.
Yes.
Who asked about that one.
Okay.
I was like, no, I don't think
Well, good try, Tiffany.
Okay.
Try again.
Let's going to go to another film. Okay, more ghost story type stuff.
Okay.
No death, no blood.
Right.
The Babadook.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, The Babadook obviously was billed as a horror film, and it got a lot of hype. It got a lot of international acclaim. It's an Australian film from 2015.
Yeah, we saw that the same night we saw Bone Tomahawk, and one of them was a lot better than the other one.
One was good, one was bad. One was dead, one was undead. Yeah, The Babadook is, everything from the cinematography to the fantastical nature of this creature from a book coming alive to, you know, the pathos that you feel for the mom, this single mom who's just struggling to get by with this kid.
This creepiest kid ever.
Creepiest kid ever.
But he turns out not to be a bad kid.
He doesn't, that kid, I will tell you, I know there's been a lot of child actors that have been nominated and received Academy Awards. Mm-hmm. That kid deserved an Academy Award. He didn't get one.
Yeah, this was a film, and the reason why I put it on the table is that there were some complaints that they were promised a straight up horror movie, and they said this wasn't a horror movie.
Right.
It didn't suit some people's taste for violence and gore. And I thought, no, this is and everything from the art direction and the colors, it's like, lady, all you need to do is do some pastels and things will look up for you.
That's right.
But
you don't have to have I guess the simple answer here is you don't have to have gore.
Yeah.
For horror film.
And this was an analog for depression and psychosis, and it did it beautifully. It's really one to watch. It's a great one, and another one of this new wave of great small horror movies that will produce great directors. I think it's a woman who directed this.
Yeah.
Hopefully some other good things coming from her.
See The Babadook, it'll scare your pants off. Yeah.
So that, you know, you couple that with The Conjuring, these ghost story type things where. Yeah.
Don't watch them both the same night, because you won't go to bed.
Yeah, Conjuring, honest to God, super scary without any gore or deaths.
Right.
So,
yep.
Last one,
all right.
Okay, and this is
it a good one.
So this is, and I saved the best for last, because this brings up the question, when we're coming to Oscar season.
Yes.
Some people will say that this is, there's two great Oscar-ish, and actually, you know what, I may have to backtrack on this one.
All right. The Nicole Kidman joint.
No.
The Others.
Not The Others.
Oh.
The Sixth Sense.
Mmm.
Is The Sixth Sense a horror movie?
Boy, that's tough. Because, I mean, that was the film that really, like, set M. Night Shyamalan on his way.
Yeah.
And right? And that was the film that, like, everybody said, okay, and that kind of cast him as a horror director, right?
And I think it set some of the these false expectations for his other movies, because people really thought, I mean, the Sixth Sense had some jump scares to it.
Sure, lots of jump scares, lots of dread,
and
no gore,
no dead people. So, you know, but it's Sixth Sense was nominated for Best Picture.
Oh.
So,
okay. Got a nod.
Right.
Got a nod.
And, you know, and I think Silence of the Lambs won for Best Picture. It cleaned house.
Right.
And that's another one. It's like it's a thriller, psycho killer, but then I think that's more thriller than horror movie.
Right.
Granted,
right.
That's a movie that my parents were able to sit through. My dad goes, "This is supposed to be a really good movie." It's like, "Ah, Dad, I don't think you're going to like this." It's like, "Oh, nonsense. It's going to be great. It's got Bruce Willis in it." And, Dad chickened out after 15 minutes.
Right.
Mom chickened out 5 minutes after that, and I was the only one sitting left. And I was just, I think we were spending time. It was like after Thanksgiving or something.
Right. Right.
But that's like scary enough to scare my parents out of the room. But yet, thriller.
Right.
Not a horror movie.
I will give Sixth Sense. I know this is the ultimate cop out because I think I've been pretty polemic with regard to every single film so far. But I'll give this like a half. Half horror, half not. That one, that's a good one to end on because I think that's like right on the money.
It's on the edges, you know.
Right,
so,
on the edges.
So, and we'd love to get your feedback about what you think is a on the edge horror movie, or whether you would want to send something to us to test the boundaries of what you think is a horror movie.
We are happy to explore and opine. All right, let's get to our favorite part of the evening, the undead dead.
Yep.
These are the films you should watch and you should not watch.
So
undead being the film you should watch because undead things are cool. Dead things, not so much cool.
Dead things should stay dead.
Stay dead. What do you got for us, Eric? What is your
undead
pick of the week?
Unexpected, fun horror movie that sounded kind of goofy.
Uh-huh.
This is a Norwegian film from 2010.
Ooh.
Troll Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
Because it looked kind of like a kaiju movie.
Right.
Right?
And this actually kind of fits the theme of this week's topic, which is...
On the edge.
Horror?
Not horror. I'm calling it a horror movie.
I like it. I dig it. I dig it.
I think part of the reason why it has some of the horror feel is that I think the horror genres... They live in the found footage, shaky cam world.
Sure.
Right? There aren't many other, unless you're Borat.
Right.
You're not doing shaky cam because you got enough of a budget to do it.
Right.
And I think there's just something unsettling about the, you know, if you're trying to document something. And these folks had a lot of fun just say as a bunch of reporters looking for... bear attacks. They thought they were bear attacks in the Scandinavian mountains.
Turns out they were mythical
trolls. And when they first
not dwarves, trolls.
and at first you think this is going to be like, you know, the guy who did the gnomes book or the fairies. Like, no, these trolls are
they're legit.
They go out there and smash mouth
trolls.
Grind your bones to make my bread kind of trolls. These guys, they were big, big, dumb, carnivorous, just fantastical beasts. And it was kind of spooky.
Kind of spooky, but it was fun.
Had a lot of fun with that. It was one of those things like, give it a shot. And it was. If you spot it on Netflix or on your what's left of the video stores out there, snag it.
I say yes. I say yes to trolls.
Undead.
Yes. My undead film is the 1973 George Romero classic. I got to give George Romero some love because, you know, I feel like I've been bagging on him lately.
You pissed on him last week.
I pissed on him. It's a film called The Crazies, which has been remade. Mm-hmm. It was remade, I'm thinking, in the 2013, 2014 era. But the original Crazies involves... it's basically... and again, this kind of fits with our theme of the week because it's sort of like a science fiction horror... action film about the accidental release of some sort of like biological weapon on the inhabitants of this small town, and everybody goes
crazy.
They go crazy. You don't really know what's going on.
Kind of like 28 Days Later, but not quite zombie.
It's a cult classic because, you know, ultimately you love all the characters. You know, you hope they stay alive.
Was this his first movie after Night of the Living Dead?
It was his first movie after The Night of the Living Dead. I think just right before Martin, I think, was the next next thing up. Anyway, yeah, it's a good movie. It's totally worth checking out. I own it. I watched it recently.
The sleeper.
I think it holds up. Yeah. I think it holds up. All right, so what is your dead film to stay dead, to be buried, to never be seen again?
This movie made me feel bad.
Oh, no. Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Haven't seen it yet because I'm too chicken. but this one was one that I should have known better than to turn on. And for God's sake, I thought it was on the Sci-Fi Channel in the afternoon.
What?
And I don't know how the hell they got away with it. Because it is one of the most viscerally disturbing, mean-spirited movies you will ever set your eyes on.
Sharknado is not a horror film.
No. Eli Roth.
Oh,
Hostel.
Yeah.
So this
Hostel's dark.
So, it's you know, and I know there are some Hostel fans out there, but you have to be, I mean, you gotta like, you know, this is high torture porn.
You gotta be an extra crazy person to be into Hostel.
And this is, it's a return to the, what did the Brits used to call the video nasties?
Yeah, right?
Which they would apply to movies like The Evil Dead, which I love.
Yeah.
Or Maniac or Last House on the Left.
Yeah.
Movies done on the cheap because they were so, but they did, and they were sensational and they were so hyper-violent. It just made, you felt dirty. You felt, you watch this thing, it's icky.
Stay away from Hostel. Don't get it. I agree with you on that one. That one is just a whole bag of nasty. Stay away from it.
So what do you think should be dead and stayed buried?
Well, this is a tough one. This is one I'm kind of like, I'm sort of on the fence with, which is seems to be my theme for the evening.
That's okay. We're playing on the edges today.
Yes. It's a 1999 film by Takashi Miike.
Oh.
And it's a film called Audition.
We have a history with Audition.
Audition, like, it's really well done. It does have kind of a 1990s vibe to it, so you kind of have to get over it. There's, Miike uses, in a lot of his films, he uses a lot of color, and he uses a lot of sound in the same way that Dario Argento used color and sound. And so it's very, there's like a lot of vibrant stuff. But there is, speaking of crossing the line, some crossing the line scenes involving a 10-inch needle into the soft, raw flesh beneath somebody's eyeball, which... That was enough for me.
I think
10-inch needles into the eyeball and dwarves can't do it.
So
can't
this is
do it.
This is. I think we found one of Mike's bridges too far because we saw this, and it's a weird film because
it is a weird film
because
weird,
it starts film. Out like a romantic drama,
right?
For the better part of the first half of the movie, you don't see. It's like and we were bemoaning the fact that there was no horror,
right?
And when the horror came, it was...
Too much horror.
Too much. It was... I curled up into a ball, covered my eyes, and screamed, Mike, what's happening? What's going on? And Mike was... I don't know if he was watching it as well.
I was curled up in a ball saying, Eric, what's happening?
I recall that the phrase was, kitty, 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 kitty. Yes. Which he was sticking the
which
the
translates to deeper, deeper, deeper as she drove the 10-inch needle into the soft... raw flesh beneath his eyeball. Yeah.
And that was and the whole last third act was nothing but brutal torture sequence. So I think the moral of the story for our stay dead movies is stay away from the torture porn.
Yes, stay away from the torture stuff. It is, I will say, it's a good film. It's a well done film. Yes, but
agreed.
Man, it is. Woo! It's a tough one to
Miike's
take.
Miike's got two of them. Ricky the Killer?
It sounds right. Yeah.
I won't, after Audition, I'm not going back to Miike unless I get proper
yes.
explanations. I do like some J horror, like yeah. The Grudge and yeah. and
Ringu. Yes.
Ringu. That, yeah. Those are good.
Be sure to do your research before you jump into yeah. Takashi Miike.
Yeah, if you're just pulling off the shelf, is you've been warned.
Yes. Yes. All right. Well, thanks for joining us this week.
Until next week, stay away from that creepy clown doll on your shelf.
Stop this fool around, you hear? Who's in there,
dammit? This must be where the executioner was killed, it's the legend.